Brother Mike and I go through these one another's that there is, again, there's a lot of overlap. There's a lot of interweaving of the one another's, and it should be that way, right? In other words, it should be something that is so predominant in the scriptures that we would see it in a lot of different angles, in a lot of different ways, and they kind of cross paths and tie knots together. But this morning, I do want to look at, and for, rather than read the whole chapter, because we've read it a couple of times, I just want to read verse 13 for now. And then I wrote every verse on the board that I'm going to try to reference this morning on the left side. And then on the right side, I'm going to try to go through those 8 points. If we get to them, great. If not, we'll see how it goes. But anyway, I want to read verse 13. It says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Through love serve one another. And I kind of want to focus on that again. I will read a bunch of scriptures to you. You won't have to turn to them, but that's why I wrote them down in case you wanted to reference them at a later point. But it's interesting. The word that's used is the... Long ago, when I first tried to understand some Greek, one of the first words that I looked at was doulos. And does anybody know what doulos means? I know my wife does, sister. Slave, right. And the word that's used for serve comes out of that root word for doulos. I remember even when I first, you know, I thought I was a Greek scholar. I had this word down anyway, and I used to call candy my doulos. And I assure you, yeah, it went over really. I even had that in my notes that it didn't go over well. But it didn't go over well, especially in public. So I shied away from that because I do like to eat. So, but that's where this word comes from. And the way the word is used, it's used as a verb. And again, a verb does what? Denotes action, right? Something that's has an activity attached to it. So when we think about this whole idea of how we are through love to serve one another, that's the idea that if we were to consider this rightly, brothers and sisters, that so when you think of a slave, what do you think about?
Servitude.
Okay. Anything else? Any other word come to your mind?
Bondage.
Okay. Anything else?
Debt.
Sure. Ministering, right? That's what a servant does. He ministers. He's in debt. He's bound to whoever is his or her master, right? So when we think about this whole idea of serving one another, I want to try to carry that through as we begin to consider this, that as we are told that through love we are to serve one another, that we have to think about that reality that we are indebted to serve. And again, if you look on this side of what I wrote, everything, and I wrote one in blue, one in green, and the last one, I'll say it now, and I'll probably say it again later. Serving is not optional for the Christian. Serving one another and serving in large is not optional. And I wonder sometimes if we have not let that settle in our minds, that we think that if we do something, if we serve someone, that they're indebted to us. In the reality, it is we're indebted to serve. And I hope to show you that a little bit more. But let me ask you to remember this scripture. You remember when the Lord Jesus said, "No servant can serve two masters," right? "For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man." So when you think about that, he's drawing a distinction and a comparison. You can't do both. So if you're going to serve one, if you're going to be indebted to one, then you have to be indebted to that one. And that one becomes your master. That one becomes the one to whom you pledge allegiance, that, and the one that you enact out that allegiance and that idea of serving. And it's really contrary. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus says, right? He says, "Well, either you will," what? "Hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to one and despise the other." So we have to begin to think about that and this whole idea of serving one another, that not only is it not optional, but there's really either we will or we won't. And if we won't, it's because we're serving something else. And that could very well be serving ourselves, which many times becomes the case. But I wanted to bring that scripture up. I also wanted to bring up what Paul says in Colossians. He says this, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So again, one of the reasons why, good morning. One of the reasons why we most need to serve one another is, what would you think? What's behind us serving one another? What brings us to that point? Okay, love, and we're gonna carry that along. But is it not the fact that the Savior came into the world to do that very thing? That he came, remember, he said, I didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister. So again, if we're going to serve one another and we think about it in a right way, what he's really teaching us is that we have to be Christ-like. Because again, that's who he was. That was what he did. And you and I must understand also that it wasn't always that way with us. Well, let me read this to you. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, he says, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not God. So, as we say often, either he is, he ain't. That's high theological terms. But either you are in Christ, serving Christ, serving Christ's people, or you are not. And the reason why you're not is because you're serving something else and someone else, right? And if you're not serving God, who are you serving? Self. But who's that which controls you? The devil, right? The evil one. Isn't that what Paul says in Timothy, that God would grant them repentance so that they come to the knowledge of the truth and what? Be released from the bondage of the devil who's taken them captive at his will. So, again, that's something that we have to settle. So many people will try to serve others, but if we do not serve with that mindset, then is it really service? It might be service in a worldly way, but we're never really called to serve in just worldly ways. We're called to serve in light of Christ serving us. So if that's true, if I'm at least somewhere on the right road, and I want to begin to take a couple minutes and just consider eight different things from this whole idea of serving one another, eight observations. And again, I'm not sure we'll get through all of them. So with this, Lord, in mind, number one, in order to serve one another, there must be a great amount of selflessness on our part rather than selfishness. That if you and I are truly going to serve one another as Christ served us, as he commands us to serve, then we are first going to have to settle in our minds, am I going to be selfish or selfless? And again, that's, again, something that you and I, that's a basic truth, right? And you and I really have to dig into our own hearts. Again, much of these one another's, they really are things that we really have to think about. We got to get down to the root of it. Am I, I'll put it to you this way. Did I come here this morning with a selfless attitude or a selfish attitude? Something to think about, right? Did I come here to serve or did I come here to be served? Or did I come here to be both? I think we have to ask that question. But again, if you and I are not really sure of our motivation, and we'll talk a little bit more about motivation, that someone else's welfare is your priority rather than your own. And again, I'm not discarding the fact that we have to serve ourselves, right? Because every man loves his own flesh. But the idea is that you and I, if we're really going to follow the one another's in the idea of serving, in the idea of putting ourselves into servitude or indebtedness to someone else, and then allowing that to manifest itself, we're going to have to be selfless. And sometimes what happens when you're selfless, just think about that. Sometimes when you go out on a, I'll use the term, I don't know if it's a good term. You go out on a limb. What do? You put yourself what sometimes? Vulnerable. Why? Why? Why do we feel vulnerable?
You feel like you can be taken advantage
right.
of, or you can be misused, you could be abused, per se.
And really that goes back to us not what? Wanting that. I mean, not wanting to be vulnerable, not wanting to be confused, not wanting to be stepped on, right? So again, these things are, they're not just real quick hits. These are things that we really have to think about. And then we have to look at our own lives and say, is that working out? Again, we see it in so many of the relationships that God has put us in, whether it be a parent to a child or a husband to a wife or a brother to a sister, where that the idea of serving or putting ourselves in service to the other is fairly easy. But even in that, it's not always the easiest, is it? There are many things that we all do that, rather than being selfless, even though we want to serve, selfishness enters in. And again, that's something that has to be eradicated from us. And let me read this scripture to you. And I thought about this, how this, in many ways, in my mind at least, relates to it. And it's from Mark. And remember what Jesus said? He said, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever desires to be first shall be slave of all, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. This idea of selflessness, brothers and sisters, these are the, you know, brother, I think Brother Mike mentioned the book last week about respectable sins, right? And there's a lot of secret sins that we all carry. And people might not even see them, but those are the, I believe those are the ones that we need to work on in a great way, because they will manifest themselves in our lives. So again, think of it that way. Are you serving one another with the thought of selflessness, or are you serving, because many people will serve another person with the idea of selfishness, won't they? In other words, I'll do this for you because what? I'm going to get something out of it, right? It's not really selfless. It's selfish. It's motivated by moi, right? What success will I have in getting this? So that whole idea of selflessness, I think, is important in the idea of serving one another. Number two, that serving one another must be motivated by love. And if you remember, the first one another that we did was what?
Love one another.
Right on, brother. Right? And Brother Mike brought up that if you will, that fountain, or I would say an ocean of truth, that all these one another's, all our lives have to be motivated, no matter what it is that we do, with the reality that we love one another. Why? Because God so loved us. Right? So again, I look at my life and I say, okay, am I selfless or selfish? I look at my life and say, am I motivated? Am I driven? Am I carried along by love? Or is there something else that's pushing the train down the tracks? But this whole idea of love is extremely important. Paul said, if you remember what he said in Romans 13, he said, oh, no man what? Anything. But to love one another, right? And so again, you and I have to think about it. And that's what I read to you. Remember what Jesus said? He said, either you will love the one and hate the other, right? Or you'll be loyal to one and disloyal to the other. So you and I have to think about this in this idea of serving. Did you come here this morning? Did I come here this morning? Do we live our lives in a selfless way where I so love others that I am looking forward and looking for opportunities to serve rather than to be served. And again, I really trust that that we are serious about examining ourselves in the light. Is it really love? And that's what Paul said here in Galatians 5:13, right? Brethren, you have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity to flesh, but what? Through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he contrasts, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about the contrast between love and biting. And I remember Brother Mike's study on biting and devouring one another. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think he said. He could correct me, but maybe some of you remember. You remember Brother Mike when he's talking about biting and devouring one another? He was trying to describe what the meaning of the words were. And if I remember right, Brother Mike said he liked to watch shows like Planet Earth and the animal shows, because he used to like to watch the leopard chase the little deer down the road and hit its back legs out and bite and devour it. You did say something like that, brother, right? Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think the little lamb thinks that that's an act of love? No. Why? Because it's destructive. It's all based on selfishness, even though it's driven by the desire to take care of yourself. But I remembered when Brother Mike said that, and I thought about it. That's such a vivid example and how it's contrasted with this idea that we are to really serve one another by love. We are to be those, and it has to be true love, right? And here's something I wanted to ask us to think about. Well, let me pose it as a question. Would you agree with me that serving is vitally attached to love, and that love is vitally attached to forgiveness? Would I be off if I said that? Please raise your hand, because I can't listen to everybody at once. Come on, think about it. Would you agree with me that there is a vital connection between serving, love, and forgiveness? If not, tell me why. If so, tell me why.
You want to serve someone who has offended you. And then you get to the point where you want to do that. And you ought to.
Okay. Yes. And so let me ask you a question. Why do we want to serve God?
Because you're
going to forgive. Ah, thank you. And that forgiveness produces what? Love. And that love produces, should produce what? Service, right? So, and I thought about, you remember when Jesus said, and he was speaking about the one of the women that he healed, and he said, and they were arguing, as they always wanted to argue with the Lord Jesus. And he said, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And I thought, is that not teaching us that there's a connection between serving, loving, and forgiving? And I agree with you, sister. I was trying to get us to think why we would even want to serve. And the reality is, or maybe I'll put it to you this way, and I'll put it to myself this way. Maybe one of the reasons why we struggle serving each other as we ought to, and I don't just mean us here, but I mean serving others. Maybe one of the reasons is because we really don't realize what we've been forgiven. Something to think about, right? To whom much is forgiven, the same, I didn't say it, so I'm very comfortable in saying what Jesus said. He said, to whom much is forgiven, the same loves much. So maybe, go ahead, Brian.
Well, I think we got to start with forgiveness first instead of serving, because without forgiveness, you don't know about love, or you don't know about service, because, like I said, until you realize and truly ponder the thing of forgiveness, once you get past that, then comes the love, because of what was given to you, and then through love makes you want to serve the one that forgiveness has come.
I agree. I mean, in other words, if I had to do it, I would do it this way: forgiveness. This way goes to love, and that goes to serve.
I think that is the order, right? To whom much is forgiven, the same loves much. So that one who loves much, I mean, that one to whom much was forgiven, that one will serve much. And if I'm not wrong, Jesus said the opposite.
Also, he drew the distinction. He said, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Maybe one of the reasons why we don't serve as much as we ought to, or in the way we ought to, is because we just don't understand what took place on Calvary's cross. You see, friends, all these one another's go back to the cross. Because all truth goes back to the cross. All truth comes out of what Jesus, who he was, the person and work of the Savior. So we have to ask ourselves, and again, I know these things are they're big thoughts, but I do believe it's important for us to consider it, that we really have to serve in the spirit of knowing that we who owed so much were forgiven so much. Right? I wonder if the thief on the cross, if it were possible and he wasn't put to death at that point, I wonder how he would have served Christ after that. To be at that point and to be so guilty and be so forgiven for so much, what a demonstration of it, and how that would have transformed him. And we see it in the Gospels, don't you? Of the ones that were healed, the ones that were made whole, the ones who were given great miracles to them in body and soul and restoration in so many ways. Almost all of them said, well, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And many times Jesus said, no, you go back there or follow me. So again, we have to ask ourselves, are we really those who realize that we have been forgiven much? And in that way, I believe we will learn to serve much also. All right, let me just try to get through a couple more thoughts. And again, I don't have to get through this. So if you want to take this and bring up some different thoughts, that's fine. But also want to bring up this idea that serving has to be without legalism. And again, I think Brother Mike has done really good helping us understand the context of Galatians 5 and the issues that were there and the legalism and all that tended towards what? What's really behind legalism? What did you get from what Brother Mike, and what do you think? What really drives legalism to keep on going? Huh? Yeah, selfishness, but what does it do? It puts people in. And it puts other people in bondage, right? That's what happens. So again, you and I have to really begin to think that trying to serve one another with a whole list of requirements really is not serving one another. It tends more towards legalism, and it tends more towards bondage than, because that's, if I got this right, that's what he said in verse 13, for you, brethren, have been called what? To liberty. But don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. In contrast to that, because you can develop whole system, and again, I'll go back to my thought of many people serve someone else because they're trying to corral them or cause them to become their servants. And that ought to not be us. We ought to be able to look at this thing in a way that we were in bondage to sin. We have been made free in order that we might be put in bondage again. Is that correct theologically? Okay. We have been freed from one master to what?
Serve another.
Because even as Bob Dylan said, you're going to serve somebody. Hey. Some of you don't have any idea what I just said, and that's okay. And you're probably better off. So again, this whole idea that our service to one another has to be really born out of, it has to, again, I say it this way, it has to flow out of us. It ought to not have to be pulled or pushed or any of those things. And that leads me to the next point. I just wanted to mention this, that, and I'll say it to you this way, and that's the way I thought about it. Serving one another means that in many ways, our service has to be blind. It has to be blind. And what, any, man?
It'd be like having two wives or two husbands, wouldn't it?
Sister, I ain't having two wives. I got one doulas, and that's plenty. You do have your own car, don't you, baby? I didn't give you my keys, did I? No, I got my keys. Okay. Yeah, I mean, could you imagine? And I don't. When it comes to polygamy, for a thousand different reasons, but but anyway, let me get back to my thought. That in many ways, love has to serving one has to be blind. What I mean by that, it cannot be based on externals. It has to be something that's residing in our heart that we desire to do, without seeking all the other things that we so often like to package up. It's easy for me to serve people that are like me. It's easy to serve people who are in the same position of life, in the same age, in the same status group. And, you know, I enjoy serving bald-headed men. Why? Well, bearded men are fine, too. And even those that are clean-cut, that's good. But you get my idea that we really have to think about what's really driving the train? Are we really desiring? And you know what I thought about? I thought about the Good Samaritan. And there's a lot of things that we could talk about with the Good Samaritan. But he wasn't really guided by externals, was he? I mean, the priest, he did his thing, right? Looked away, the Levite, crossed the street. It's the Good Samaritan. I mean, he had compassion on him. And what did that compassion do? It caused him to pick him up and carry him. And it caused him not only to carry him to the end, but then to seek his welfare even when he was gone. He was blind. It was a need. And that's the way our service should be. It should be based on nothing other than indebtedness to serve. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Now, granted, I'm not saying blind in that we're fools. We have to be discerning. But as far as what motivates us, it really has to be blind, friends. It cannot carry a whole lot of baggage.
Andy, I think the question we have to ask ourselves are we willing to serve someone who is going to treat us like a servant?
Yeah.
You know, we're happy to serve somebody who, you know, won't make us feel like we're serving them.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point because, again, we create so many fences and walls around things that we do or don't do that are not really scriptural fences or scriptural walls. We just do them. And then once we do them, we make sure nobody touches them. Because again, we built that little wall around our thoughts, and no one's going to take it down because I'm the captain of my own ship. And I do think that many times we have to ask ourselves, are we really doing this out of a desire to be compassionate, a desire to see someone else, if you will, even rise up ahead of us, even come out on top? Even if it means we come out on bottom, or as Brother Mike was saying, even if we become vulnerable or we become uncomfortable, because I would ask you to think about this. It's hard to serve somebody that you're not comfortable with. Agree or disagree? And I'm not asking you for specifics. I'm just saying in general, it's easy to serve somebody that you're comfortable with, right? It's not easy to serve somebody you're uncomfortable with. And again, why you're uncomfortable with them, there might be legitimate reasons, but even over and beyond that, if we're really driven by love and the whole idea of forgiveness, that should be able to help us even work through that.
That shouldn't stop us from serving, though, just because we're uncomfortable with somebody. That should make us grow.
I agree, brother. I agree that that's where we have to go, right? And that's the whole thing with all these one another's. These one another's are not just facts. These are things that have to be in us, and they have to what? Be growing, right? What do we think that means when Peter says, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Son of God who so loved us that he gave himself for us? You think that's just a statement? You think that's just a doctrinal sentence? No. To your point, we have to learn to overcome. The biggest person that I need to overcome is me. Do you think about yourself that way? And again, we need to work on our own souls.
That's a good point, Andy. I think you're right in the sense that our biggest problem serving is not our someone who makes us feel uncomfortable. It's us. We just don't want to.
Yeah, and the reasons why, some of them we don't even know why, right? Some of them almost like, some of it I think is really because we have prejudices.
Yeah, whatever it may be, right.
Yeah. Again, this whole idea of serving, and to your point, I think it's a really good point, is that even when we sense these things, we got to overcome them, right? Oh, we're not growing in grace. And I'll be honest with you, brothers and sisters, and you would probably be honest. You know some people that have been in Christ for long periods of time, and you don't see the graces manifest themselves. Maybe it's partly because some of those real issues of the heart have never really been dealt with, right? I'm not talking about outwardly and knowing the jargon of the Christian faith. But again, it goes back to this whole idea, to whom much is forgiven, the same loves much.
It's hard to love a bully.
It is hard to love a bully, sister.
When I was growing up, I was a little bitty thing.
Sample size, right? Yep. But didn't you marry a big man, sister?
Yeah. I think somebody protect me.
I don't blame you one bit, sister. I've never forgotten, sister, when I first met you, you told me that they called you sample size. And I think that's, but.
A woman at work, and he told me one day we were doing that, I couldn't reach the pedals on the thing, they had to put blocks on it, you know. And I said, I'm so tired of being the littlest one group. He said, well, you know, the sample size is always better. God took that to heart.
I guess something you still carried around in your mind, sister. That's funny. But again, it is hard to serve someone who's a bully. It is hard to serve someone when you don't believe that their interest is to serve you. Again, this is something, these are things we have to work through. It's easy to serve someone when you know that they're willing to serve you. It's very hard to serve someone when you know they're not really in it for you. They're in it for self. Again, issues of the heart. Okay. Let me ask you to think about this, that serving ought to be a delight rather than a burden. Serving ought to be a delight rather than a burden. I'm going to read this to you, and I wrote on the board, it's in Deuteronomy 28. It says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart, in all your abundance, you will serve your enemies the Lord will set against you. In famine, thirst, nakedness, and destitution, he will place an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart. Is it a joy to serve each other? Or is it too much? Is it a burden? Maybe it's a burden because we're a burden. We have burdens in our own heart that we can't get rid of. And so everything that we look at seems like just another burden for us. Again, you think of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's never been someone who was as, in that sense, free as he was. Why was he so free to serve? Because he was free from sin. He didn't have those thoughts that you and I have in that way where he was, it didn't matter. He knew he was vulnerable. He knew he would be abused. He knew that it would turn against him. He knew it, and yet he did it. Why? Out of love. Again, he served the Father, and that the Father had sent him. Remember what it says in Psalm 40? It says, in the volume of the book is written me of me, I delight to do your will. It was a delight to the serving of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only to his Father, but to us. So again, I wanted you to think about that and to ask us. And I was going to read from 1 Kings let me ask us to do that real quick. And it's the only scripture I'll ask you to turn to. Go to 1 Kings chapter 9 for a minute. I want to show you something about Solomon. 1 Kings is right before 2 Kings. I want you to see this in 1 Kings, if I can get to the right reference. Okay, I'm going to read these verses to you. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 1. It came to pass, this is after Solomon built the temple. It came to pass when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all of Solomon's desires, which he wanted to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time as he had appeared to him in Gibeon. The Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have sanctified this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now, if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart, in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, I will establish your throne, the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons at all turn from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have sent before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them and this house which I have sanctified for my name, and I will cast them out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among the nations, and this house will be exalted, yet everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and to his house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, worshiped them, served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. Something to think about. Are we really those who serve God with delight? Because many people in this world serve their master with delight. Well, I don't care what that delight is. I don't care if it's power. I don't care if it's money. I don't care what it is. There's a delight to it. There's a reward to it. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. How about us? And finally, before we close, or as we close, I wanted to remind us all this. Again, when I said it in the beginning, serving is not optional. Serving is not for the super Christian, because there is no super Christians. Serving is for all of us. I'll just read this to you, what Jesus said. This is Luke 17. It says, which of you, whose servant comes in from plowing or shepherding in the field, will say to him, come at once and sit down and eat? Instead, won't he tell him, prepare my meal and dress yourself to serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did what he was told? So you also, when you have done everything commanded of you, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Brothers and sisters, if we are going to grow into one another's, then there's a lot of groundwork that has to be done. Right? Not easy, but loving God, in one sense, is so easy, and yet in another sense, it's not. And I'll tell you why as we close. And I said this Wednesday night, and I'll say it again. One of the reasons why I believe we don't love God that much is because we don't look to God that much. And the reason why we don't look to God that much is because if we look to God, we have to look at ourselves. And looking at ourselves is disturbing. But if you really are going to know God, you're going to have to know yourself. And so, again, I hope these one another's will help us as we go through our lives in every area at every station. Okay, let's just close them. Oh, go ahead. Our Father and God, again, we thank you for your great love to us, for your great work in us, for us, both now and for all eternity. Bless us this morning. May we sing, Lord, because we want to sing. May we pray because we want to pray. May we open your word because we want and we delight in it. And may you be pleased to do a great work in us this morning. Bless us now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.